share is going to, I don't know that it's going to shock anybody. It shouldn't shock anybody. If it shocks anyone, then you weren't understanding what you were witnessing from me in the first place for the last 2-3 years. But what I am about to say is going to turn some of you away. It's going to make some of you think that I am a shill or worse. You're going to want to write nasty comments, spread nasty rumors, and you're going to think that you're doing it for the cause. And that's your prerogative. It really, I think it'll just rather further define what I'm about to say. And you'll be providing evidence of where I've come to, what I understand, and why I'm saying what I'm saying. So, go at it. I won't respond to the attacks. I'm going to do it. And it's just the way that it is. I'm going to lay it all out. Watch the entire video, which will have taken a great deal of time to put together. I'm just saying that right now at the beginning. If you watch the entire thing and you still have the feelings that I have somehow, that I'm a shill, or worse, or that I betrayed anything, then you clearly don't understand where I'm coming from. So I say all that in advance to everything else, getting that out there so that everybody can move on with the next stage. Now, for those of you that don't know, my backstory is really pretty simple overall. I'm actually a licensed minister, and even though I teach, I'm an educator. I have 2 degrees in ministry. I have a bachelor's in pastoral ministry. I have a master's in theology, biblical languages, that type of background. That's always been my background. That's where my degrees have always been. And so in all of this, I've always looked at the biblical perspective of the things that are going on. But I'm human, I'm fallible, and I will mistake things, and I have misunderstood things in the past. And only through discernment, through God, through prayer, through scripture, through others that have been put into my life by God to remind me, hey, stupid, here's what God's word says. Or haven't you had this understanding, this revelation of what that means? And just reminding me, or just generally asking questions. You know, why do you think this? Why do you believe that? Why do you do this? And so forth. Through all of that, that's my background. Okay? So, almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I, like many others, hundreds of thousands, and now into the many millions, came to know of Q. You know this. My site clearly has indicated it. I have posted virtually every Q drop that has existed over the span of the entire time that Q has been posting, now nearly 4,000 drops. And I've joined in on many interpretations of things. I have joined in on the theories, and I have helped proliferate some of those theories. But I hope that you have seen me as somebody that, for the most part, posts things either with the intent of you thinking it through further without me telling you how to think about it, or having thought about it myself, and I'm just kind of throwing things out there. And when I've been wrong, I've removed those items, I've reversed my stance on things, and I've admitted that. And all of that goes on. And I can also say that in the last 2.5+ years, I have deeply defended Q, the intel within Q, and the figures that I have come to know are associated with Q. What I have not liked, and yet I have not said much about until now, is I have not liked what has become known as a Q movement. Never did care for that. Still don't care for that. Don't consider myself a part of a movement. So when people ask me things like, do you follow Q? My standard response to that is, I follow the posts that are dropped by Q as intel and as source, along with other sources of information. I do chase the links, look at the videos, go down the rabbit holes that are suggested by Q or appear to be suggested by Q, and I use it that way. Do I follow Q? No. Because I think by following Q, that implies something beyond what it's intended for. It was originally intended for. Movements or followings can become very dangerously associated with a religious experience. People will talk about how they do something religiously. You know, they jog religiously, or they eat particular foods religiously, or they will watch a program religiously. And what they're really meaning is they do it with a pattern, with a routine, with a expectation to continue to do it. They do it faithfully, meaning they are loyal to that routine, whatever it is. And religion is that. Religion is this idea of doing a series of steps in a program that others also join in on. That's typically how it's structured. And the problem with a lot of that, and the problem with organized religions as well, is this same concept that you are doing a series of patterns that other people are doing as well, and that in and of itself becomes what becomes important to you within that group. And it stops being about the reason you did it in the first place. It starts becoming about the fellowship with each other over the commitment to what got you there in the first place. And I think that happens quite often in churches. I think people continue to attend church not because they're being fed by God, but because they're being fed by their interaction with other human beings and the routine that is there in that, and the acceptance that is there in doing the same thing, seeing things the same way, wording things the same way. And church is no different than any other group out there that begins to use the same phrases and terms and methods to do things and looks at people outside of that routine as opponents to or needed converts to it. And it becomes very dangerous. And there's whole schools along those thoughts. There's whole series of historical events that can be used to make the comparisons about that. And you can say that, you can find that in, for instance, the video that I posted that millions have watched at this point in a very short period of time, Out of Shadows. Now, I want to make it very clear that in that video, I don't have a single problem with anything that's mentioned, that's referenced in that video. Except that, and this is something that others that I have come to trust as well, have seen as well as myself, is that it it is accurate to its title. It takes you out of the shadows. But what it doesn't do is the second half. It doesn't take you into the light. It exposes a problem that most of us already know exists. But what it doesn't do is take you to the Savior. It doesn't take you to Christ. It takes you just out of the shadows. And I think that that is an interesting connecting point with Q. In fact, I know it's an interesting connecting point with Q, because Q, in its own way, does the same thing. The intel, I don't have a problem with. I continue to follow the drops, examine the drops, research the drops, and so forth, that take place. And there is intel there, and there are rabbit holes that are worth going down and chasing and finding information for information's sake, for exposure of things. And I do believe that in and of itself is waking people up to those issues. But it's only taking you through the first half of all this. Q is not solving the problem. Q is exposing the problems. But what has happened is the Q movement has turned into a belief that Q is going to somehow save us. And that if we just follow along with what we're learning through Q, that we can reverse everything that's going on, that we can reverse the evil that's going on in the world, that by exposing it and jailing it, because that's a huge part of this whole thing. People get frustrated with Q because they don't see arrests. Well, that doesn't change anything. Arrests don't change the heart of the individuals. It's not bringing anyone to salvation. All it's doing is just putting people in chains. That's all it's doing. Whether they deserve to be there or not isn't even the issue. There's evil in this world, and Q, like Out of Shadows, is doing nothing more than exposing that evil. But it's not providing the salvation needed. It's not bringing people into the light of it. And that's not anything unlike this whole COVID-19 mess. They want you isolated, but they don't want you outside in light. They don't want you exposed to nature and get the healing benefits that God created through nature. They want you isolated. So, it's only getting you halfway. It's not getting to the part that's necessary that actually changes anything. Getting someone to stop committing a crime is good for society, but it's not enough. You need to be able to change the heart of the criminal. And if you're not changing the heart of the criminal, crime will continue. And they're just going to go back into it again. And that's one of the other things that's a concern. People are at a point where they want to worship what is going on with the Trump administration, and they want to say, hey, he's renewing the nation. He's helping renew the planet. People aren't thinking, okay, what happens after he's out of office? And I've heard many people say, well, I mean, we're just going to return back to the way we were before. What happens when you get the next leader in there that doesn't do things the way that he does, or whatever? And it's true. It's a temporary solution. And it's not going to stay that way. And one of the reasons why I say that is not to be pessimistic, but to be realistic and to be biblical. Okay? All world religions, all major world religions know that there is a time of judgment that has to take place. And Christianity, particularly, is very much aware that there is an end time. There is a white throne judgment, and all of those things that take place. And if you know all of that, then you also know that we are not going to face a time where we're going to have a leader come in and save the planet and reverse the course of evil and remove the need for a final judgment. And there are people, particularly within the Christian environment, who are hugging on to Q are buying into this concept that Q is going to somehow save the planet. There's nothing biblical about that. Nothing biblical about that. Well, not, correction, there is plenty actually that's biblical about it, but it's biblical in a way people don't want it to be biblical. It's biblical in the sense that John was given a revelation about that type of thing. That there would be false messiahs, that there would be a warping of the planet. I mean, people fear the New World Order, and then they turn around and say, well, maybe we can reverse or extend or put off the New World Order, that we somehow control when it happens. And yet Scripture very clearly says that we do not know the hour and the time of His coming. We don't know. Christ Himself said that He didn't know when His Father would be coming back to judge, to clean up, to do the final deeds. And yet there are people that are somehow calling Q the Great Awakening. And I've used that term, and I've posted that term, and I've referred to that term before. I never once did it with the intention of saying Q is the Savior. I did it thinking people are waking up to the problems that are going on, that it's no longer seen as theory, especially not seen as conspiracy theory. It's seen as reality. It's understood that it's real. Because there are people that quite honestly do not believe that evil exists. That people that they have put their trust into, more than that, they've more than just trusted them, they have worshipped them, that they are not to be worshipped. Nobody on this planet, no human being, no piece of grass, no tree, no anything is supposed, no idol, nothing is supposed to be worshipped on this planet by any human being. Nothing. And yet, people have put their faith in individuals, and then when other individuals call those individuals out, they show their religious following of that individual by spitting fire and venom back at the person who calls out that individual, until they get woken up. And then when that happens, they begin to listen to the individual that called out the other one for their falsehoods. And if it stops there, it's fine. But it's still incomplete. Okay? You've still taken somebody out of the shadow, but you haven't put them into the light. And again, it's not any different than the Israelites waiting for Moses at the base of the mountain while he's gone for weeks. And they put their need to worship something into a golden calf. And we forget the part where Moses comes back, destroys the calf, but it has to go back and beg God to please forgive them. You know, we ignore that part. Okay? We don't need an object on this planet to worship. But we're always being told we need to worship. We're told you need to follow what the stars say, the role models, and all of those types of things. And there's whole lessons in that. The Q movement is not leading people to Christ. It's getting them out of the shadows, but it's not putting them in the light. And as a result to that, I can't in good faith continue to present Q in a half measure and believe within my soul, within my heart, that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm doing what God intends me to do. I do not feel called in that direction. If I'm not leading them to the light, if I'm not leading them directly back to God, if I'm not leading them to Christ. I'm leading them to Satan. If Q is not leading you straight back to Jesus, if Q is not leading you straight back to God, then Q is leading you away from God. And does that seem extreme? It may feel extreme. Because we've been raised for generations and generations and generations to believe that that you should be able to follow people. We've been told you need to have role models, you need to have mentors, we do need to be guided and directed in our paths, but if that is not directing us back toward a relationship with God, then it's leading us down a path that has been created by man. And no man can guide and direct our lives to its fullest.